The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Come on and magnify the Lord with me. Oh, come on now. Let's act like he's been good to us. Come on. Magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let's exalt his name together. I don't know about you, but I know that I serve a mighty God. Come on, somebody. Let's give him glory. Let's give him praise. Let's give him honor. Let's make his name great in this place. I said magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. God, we love you. We adore you. We magnify your name. Father God, when the ark returned to the house of Israel, the Bible says that David danced. He danced until his clothes came off. And then when his wife was upset, he said, I will become more undignified. God, let us have an undignified praise for you. God, let us shake off everything that's on us that doesn't belong on us right now in this moment. God, let us celebrate you like there's no tomorrow. Let us celebrate you like it's our last shout, like it's our last praise, like it's our last day, like it's our last breath. God, come on. Let us celebrate you like you're worthy, like you're glorious, like you're honor, like we owe you honor. God, let us celebrate you unrestricted. God, I don't know what it is right now, but I just want to speak to the atmosphere in this house. And I just want to say that the atmosphere has got to let the light come in. I want to speak to the atmosphere, and I want to say the atmosphere has to give way for the master. The atmosphere has to give way for praise as we enter into the thanks, as we enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and we enter your courts with praise. God, let this be the atmosphere that we can lift up a glorious praise unto you. God, I don't know what we're dealing with, but God, I love you, I adore you, I magnify you because you've been better than life itself. Because your love is better than life. God, because your love is better than life, we praise you. Because it's you, it's through you that we live and move and have our being. God, you've been better to us than we can imagine. You've been good to us when we haven't been good. You've been great to us when we haven't been faithful. You've been marvelous to us when we didn't pay you any attention. God, when we didn't love on you, you kept your hands of mercy on us. God, you provided for us when we wasn't thinking about you. God, when we were rebellious, God, you kept us on your mind. God, you protected us when we deserved not mercy. God, you showed us grace when we didn't deserve it. So, Father, we celebrate you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to turn your attention to the book of Genesis on today. Genesis in the Old Testament, first book of the Bible. This may be a familiar passage to some. If it is not familiar to you, that is totally all right. You are in the right place. Come on, somebody, holla if you hear me right now. You have come to the right place. This is none other than the household of God. Come on, somebody. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David said it like this: I had fainted if I had not desired to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to give God some praise. Genesis chapter 50. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 50. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of this Old Testament text. Come on, holla if you hear me. Genesis chapter 50. And I'm going to start the reading at verse 14. Genesis chapter 50, verse 14. It's a very familiar text, one of my favorite texts to read in the Bible. Come on, somebody. If you're able to stand as we read and give holy reverence to God's word, if you're able to stand, we would just ask that you would stand with us as we give God the honor that's due to him. Amen. If you have it, say praise the Lord. Genesis 50, verse 14 reads, after burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him. Come on, somebody say, where's the beef? So they sent this message to Joseph before their father died. He instructed us, say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. Father, we pray blessings on everything that you're about to do right now in this worship experience. God, we bless the name of our God for you. We thank you for our pastor, for his family. God, we thank you right now that wherever he might be getting some respite and rest, God, that he's a blessed person, a blessed man of God, anointed. Father, we pray continued blessings over him and his family. God, give him the nourishment, the strength, the endurance, the anointing to be able to continue to preach your word and lead your people. God, we thank you now for every visitor, for every officer, for every preacher in this house, for every well-wisher. God, we even thank you for the adversary that might be sitting in this place today, God, that they might hear a word from you and they might know that you are the God and you are God all by yourself. Now, God, bless me to be an instrument in your hand. God, take self, hide self behind the cross so that Jesus will be seen and magnified and glorified in this place. It is in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject of blessed by betrayal. Blessed by betrayal. There used to be a commercial that would come on the whiz. And the commercial was simply this. There was a voiceover. I don't remember whose voice it was. But the voiceover would say, bad things happen to good people. Now, I don't subscribe to the bad things happen to good people, because the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. So I would not consider myself to be a good person, but I would consider myself to be an anointed person. So if I had to redo the tagline for the commercial, I would redo the tagline that bad things happen to anointed people. Now watch this. Being anointed does not insulate you from experiencing BS or bad stuff. Being anointed does not insulate you from experiencing bad events. Being anointed does not insulate you or disregard you from experiencing bad people. So watch this. Because I am anointed does not necessarily mean that trouble is not going to come my way. Now, here's the interesting thing about being anointed. The Bible tells us that just because we're anointed does not necessarily mean that we won't have some tough times. The Bible says that man born of a woman is full of trouble. The Bible says that he's just a few days and full of trouble. Come on, somebody. So we understand and know from the testimony of the book of Job, from all the things that Job went through and his integrity that Job had. Come on, somebody. Job was an anointed man. He was a blessed man. Job was the kind of man that everybody would want to be like, because Job was blessed beyond measure. He was blessed above all that we could ask or think. But Job was the closest thing that I have ever seen to God bragging on somebody else when Satan was in his presence. Come on, he said, is there anybody like my son Job, like my servant Job in all the earth? Come on, God was bragging about him. But guess what? God brags about you too. So just because it is that God brags about you, just because you are anointed of God, just because God has his hand on you, just because God has favored you, doesn't mean that you won't have trouble. So being anointed does not insulate you from experiencing bad stuff, bad events, or bad people. Now, I want y'all to do me a favor for just a second. I want y'all to follow these simple instructions. Y'all ready? Y'all ready on my left? Y'all ready in the center? You ready on my right? Now, watch this. If you're anointed and you know it, clap your hands. If you're anointed and you know it, clap your hands. If you're anointed and you know it, your face will surely show it. If you're anointed and you know it, clap your hands. Now, watch this. There were some people in here that clapped because they understand that they are anointed of God. And there are other people who did not clap, but guess what? They watched everybody else who did clap. So the point is this: just because I'm anointed doesn't always mean that everybody that I think should be anointed with me is clapping with me. So watch this. Not only do folks sometimes not clap with me when I say that I'm anointed, when I show that God's hand is on me, when they can see the light of God shining in me, when they can see the purpose of God for me, when they can see the blueprint that God has for my life, not everybody is clapping with you. So just because you are anointed and there are other folks around you who look like they would be anointed does not necessarily mean that folks are clapping with you. But watch this. Not only sometimes are they not clapping with you, but they're not clapping for you. Come on, somebody. I wish I had one person in here who had a hater that you understand that every time you had some good news, every time you wanted to shed light on something, every time you had a praise report, every time God blessed you, every time they saw God with his hand on you, every time they understood that God had a plan for you, every time they peeked at the blueprint that God had for your life, instead of clapping for you, they just looked at you. So bad things happen to anointed people. This is how it goes when you're anointed. Because when you're anointed, people can see it. And not only when you are anointed, people can see it. When you are anointed, you are a light in a dark place. Come on, somebody. When you are anointed, people can see that you are a light in a dark place. When you're anointed, everybody, including principalities and powers, see that you are a light in a dark place. When you are anointed, the principalities and powers of this world can see that the hand of God is on you. Now watch this. When you are anointed, you are the water in a dry place. You are the hope to the hopeless. You are encouragement to the broken. You are a friend to the frustrated. You are nourishment to the hungry. Do I have any anointed people in here? You are the rest to the weary. You are clarity to the confused. You are the sign pointing the way to salvation. You are your ancestors' wildest dream. And you are the evidence that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You are that evidence because you are the evidence of faith. That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen, because you are not only your ancestors' wildest dream, but you are the hope that they had. Come on, somebody. You are the thing that they hope would happen. So you got to understand that just because you're anointed, then not everybody around you is going to celebrate and clap with you. Not everybody that's around you is going to celebrate the fact that God wants to do something great with you. Come on, somebody. So not everybody is clapping with you. So the folks that are not clapping with you, they think that you have something on you that looks better on them. Come on, somebody. I said it the last time I was up here. It's some folk that look at what you got, that look at how you're anointed, and look at how God has blessed you, and look at the life that you live and the things that God has given you. They look at the anointing that is in you, the hand of God being on you, and they want to wear your stuff. I think I said it the last time. I said, ladies, I said, y'all know when y'all go into the store and y'all see 10 of them dresses that's all the same print, you buy the size that's for you, and then got the nerve to be like, oh, she got my stuff on. Well, you knew that there was 10 of them on the rack when you bought it. Come on, fellas. Y'all know what it is. When you think that you're the only one that bought the new pair of Air Nike Jordans, and watch this. You go somewhere and you see somebody else that's got the same shoes, the same shirt, the same shorts, the same outfit that you got on, and you got the nerve to be upset because you thought that you had something that was exclusive. So when we think about the anointing of God, we got to understand that, guess what? Everybody's stuff fits them the way that God wants the stuff to fit them. So it's not my job to look and examine what somebody else's anointing is. Because guess what? If I was paying attention to what God wants for me, then I can enjoy the anointing and the stuff that God has put on me. Now this brings me to the text, because we got to understand something. Joseph is in this predicament. He's in this place. He's gone through the hardships in his life. He's gone through the betrayal of his brothers. Watch this. All because of a simple verse, of a simple text, of a simple thing that his father did and did not realize and understand that the brothers were going to be upset at Joseph. Now watch this. The only reason why we have this text in Genesis 50 is because Jacob gave Joseph a coat. All because his starter jacket was better than his brother's. Come on, somebody. All because his Wilson's leather coat looked better than what the brothers had on. Come on, somebody. All because the coat had many colors on it, and he was excited to give it to the son that he loved most. But watch this. What we don't understand is that it's not just about the coat. It's the drama that happened before the coat showed up. So just because he didn't love their mama the right way, come on, somebody. This, they understood that Jacob did not love Leah the way that he loved Rachel. So watch this, this family dynamic that they had where he loved one wife, come on, somebody, but he didn't love the other wife, come on, somebody. He liked the side piece better than y'all better talk to me up in here. He liked what wasn't his more than he liked what was his, because even though he was married to Leah, the Bible says that he still loved Rachel before he married her. So they're just carrying the dysfunction that they had because their daddy didn't love their mama. I will solicit this, though. There was something. Come on, somebody, because the Bible says that he kept going into the tent. So there was something about Leah that was desirable. Y'all better help me preach up in here. Watch this. You got to watch out for having folk in your life that don't love you for you, but they love what you can do for them. Come on, somebody. So Jacob had used their mama all the way up. Watch this. The Bible says that the Lord kept opening her womb because he saw that she was not loved. Come on, somebody. Help me preach up in here. So watch this. So they had an angst against their brothers because they didn't love their mama the way that he loved theirs. So when the coat shows up, all the brothers don't understand. Well, why is it that you only had one coat for one brother? Come on, somebody. So watch this. Is there not a blessing for me? So watch this. The thing that we got to understand is that when you're anointed of God, you don't have to worry about God skipping the blessing for you. The Bible says that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think. So watch this. If you feel like somebody else got something that you feel like you don't have, then guess what? You're not thinking big enough. Because the Bible says that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that I can whatever what? Ask or think. So if I feel like God ain't blessing me, then that must mean that I'm not asking for the right stuff. The Bible says that when you did ask, come on somebody, you asked amiss. So the Bible is telling me one thing. If I feel like somebody else's anointing belongs to me, I need to pay closer attention to what it is that I'm asking God for. Because I ain't got to be jealous because somebody else's coat looks better than mine. So this is the reason why we're at this text. It's because Jacob had the coat of many colors. Now watch this. Not only did he have a possession that the brothers didn't have, but watch this. Come on, somebody. It's going to tie this right back in. He had a dream that the other brothers didn't have. Come on, somebody. So watch this. Because he had a dream, and because he was in the dream, and because everybody was bowing to him in the dream. Come on, somebody. And they interpreted the dream as saying that he was going to be over them, that he was going to be bigger than them, that he was going to be greater than them, that his life was going to be more blessed than theirs was. The Bible says that they could not say a kind word to him. Come on, somebody. So in the morning, come on, think about it. On the way to the field, they didn't have anything to say to their little brother. And so when they were in his presence, they had nothing nice to say to him or nothing nice to do for him. So they grew up in a household where they hated each other. All because of a coat. All because of a dream. All because of what God was trying to do with Joseph. Now watch this. In the text, Jacob was betrayed by his brothers because he had a better coat than they did, and he had a bigger dream than they had. Come on, somebody. Watch this. He had his eye on a big target. He was a big thinker. He was a big dreamer. He was a big doer. He had a big anointing. Watch this. And his brothers disliked him for it. So you got to understand, when God anoints you with a big dream, with a big vision, with a big goal, with a big anointing, that you automatically have a target on your back. Now watch this. When he put the coat on, he still was the same Joseph that they grew up with. But because they saw that there was something different on him. Come on, somebody. Because there's something different on him. Because there's something different on you. Because there's something different on me. Because there's something different about us when we're saved and we're sanctified and we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Help me preach up in here. Because there's something different on you. Folk are looking at you like, guess what? I wish I'd catch one of them Christians coming out the liquor store. I wish I see them coming out the club. I wish I see them with a short skirt on at work. I wish I see him in the face of another woman outside and his wife ain't with him. Come on, somebody. Y'all better help me preach up in here. So it automatically, because you are anointed, because you got something different on you, not only on the outside of you, because they can see that there's something different about how you operate, how you talk, how you act, how you interact, how you do stuff. There's something different. There's a different kind of blessing on you. Like, folks will make sure that they are looking out to see, are you really who you look like you say you are? So just because there's something on you, you got a target on your back. Now watch this. The Bible says that the adversary is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so when you look at this text, you got to understand that because he's got the coat on, right? Because he's got a different kind of anointing. The adversary is quick to snuff out. The adversary is quick to want to extinguish. The adversary is quick to want to put out the light that God has put in him. So this is the reason why his brothers come up with the plan. When they see him coming, they're out in the fields. This is why they come up with the plan to get rid of Joseph. Because they can't stand to see the light that's in him. There are going to be some people that are going to be around you. There's even some folk that you call kinfolk that are going to be related to you. They're going to be relatives, cousins, aunties, uncles. Come on, somebody. There's going to be nephews. There's going to be nieces that are not going to like the light that they see inside of you. But guess what? That ain't my problem, baby. Because guess what? The Bible says that whoever, if you ask God for anything, come on, somebody, will he not give it to you? Yes, he will. So if you upset and frustrated, then all you got to do is ask for what it is that I've been asking for. Now watch this. So they came up with a plan. They said, we're going to get rid of Joseph. And the Bible says they threw him into a cistern. and his brother Reuben was going to come back and get him. But before he could make it back, guess what happened? The other brother sold him into slavery. Now watch this. If you've ever been betrayed by anybody, I don't know, I don't care who it is. If you've ever been betrayed, you ain't got to talk bad. You ain't got to talk about it. But just understand one thing. If you've been betrayed and you've been thrown into a pit, you got to understand that there is providence in the pit of your life. So when I say that there's providence in the pit, what that really means is that God is still with you when you're in the pit. Now watch this. Some folk would think that because he took the coat off, the coat was the thing that made him special. But I would beg to differ, because the coat did not make him special. It was what God's will and blueprint for him was that was what made him special. See, the thing that the brothers miscalculated was that if we take his coat and we say that he's dead. Come on, somebody. If I can take off what looks like what's covering him on the outside, then I can destroy the person that God is trying to build up on the inside. Come on, somebody. So watch this. So I've got providence when I'm in the pit, which means that if I've got providence in the pit, it means that God is still with me even if I fall in the pit. So watch this. I can lose possessions. I can lose my house. I can lose a car. I can lose a job. Come on, somebody. I can charge off a credit card. Come on, somebody. I can lose a family member. But guess what? No matter what pit I'm sitting in or standing in, no matter what pit I'm trying to dig out of, watch. I wish I had one person that was in a pit. Watch this. No matter what pit I'm in, the outside of me doesn't determine what it is that's on the inside of me. And because the inside of me is what determines whether or not I get out the pit or not, the landscape for me doesn't matter. I can be in a pit or I can be in a palace. I can have a coat or I can not have a coat. The point is that regardless of whatever it is that I'm in, regardless of whatever my landscape is, it doesn't make a difference. Because the God of the cosmos is still with me, and his providence is still keeping me while I'm in the pit. So not only is there providence in the pit, there's promise in the pit. Not only is there providence and promise in the pit, but there's purpose that's in the pit. Come on, somebody. Not only is there providence, promise, and purpose, but there's also power in the pit. Come on, somebody. So my landscape doesn't change. God's characteristics in me, and there's nothing different whether I'm in the pit or the palace. Now watch this. The Bible says that Jacob died, and the brothers became fearful that he was going to seek payback from them because of what they had done to him. Somebody say guilty conscience. So as soon as they understood that their covering was gone, because Jacob was their covering, when they went to see him in Egypt, the only reason why he didn't keep messing with him was because he wanted to make sure that he got a chance to see his daddy alive. That's why he said, enough now. I'm going to just tell y'all who I am, because I don't want to endanger my opportunity to be enjoined to my father again. So watch this. So they had a guilty conscience because Jacob is now gone. So guess what? He ain't got to think about what's going to happen with daddy, because daddy already gone now. So I don't know what he's about to do. So they had a guilty conscience. So when individuals who reach out to touch you, who reach out to touch your anointing, who reach out to do you harm, who reach out to steer or try to deter you from the will of God for your life, whenever those folks put their hands on you, there's a price for touching God's anointing. So people who are plotting against you, scheming against you, people who want to do you harm, going to have a guilty conscience. And in this text, they had a guilty conscience, because guilty people are always looking over their shoulder. Now watch this. Some of y'all might have friends who tiptoe around y'all, and you don't understand what's different with them. You cool. You good. We great. But I feel like they tiptoeing around me. If they tiptoeing around you, then that might be the person that you need to look out for. If they're uncomfortable around you, that might be the person that's been talking on the phone about you. If they look like they unsettled around you, come on, somebody. If they look like they're uncomfortable around your anointing, come on, I'm going to just say it. If they look like the uncomfortable around you when God is using you and they don't look like they excited about it, that might be the person that might be talking and saying something about you. So the Bible says that because they had a guilty conscience, they sent an apology, but they sent it via message and they didn't come in person. It says that they sent an apology message, but watch this, even though they apologized, they still had some character flaws. They had character flaws because they submitted an impersonal apology for a very personal transgression. So watch this. You can't think that God is satisfied when you do something wrong to somebody openly to their face. Openly. Everybody can see it. And then when you decide that it's time for you to give them an apology, you send them a text message, I'm sorry. You send them an email, I'm sorry. Come on, somebody. You send them a voicemail that says, I'm sorry. When the Bible says that if you got a heart with somebody, it says you got to go to them. You got to go to them. And not send a messenger. Come on, somebody, because he sent messages. They sent messengers. They didn't go themselves. Even if I think you're not going to accept my apology, even if I think there's going to be repercussions for what I did, I owe it to you to come to you and tell you, please forgive me. So they gave him an apology, but they made it impersonal when their sin against him was extremely personal, because they threw him in the pit. And the Bible says that he anguished for his life and he begged them not to do it. And when they apologized for it, they sent somebody else to do the dirty work. So they were still hiding in their father's shadow, because the whole verbiage of the apology is prefaced with saying, before daddy died. Come on, somebody. Before he died, he told us to tell you this. These are grown men. Can't speak for themselves. Daddy told us to tell you this. So not every apology you get from somebody that has offended you is going to be the apology that you want or the apology that you expected. Because what I would have expected, just based on looking at the text, when they were coming back from the burial, I figured they would have got square on the way back home. But the Bible says that they didn't really think much about what was going to happen or what could happen until they got back, which tells me they were more concerned about themselves than they were about apologizing. Now, they gave an apology, and I can't say it was half-hearted, but surely there could have been more effort with the apology. And it could have happened a lot sooner. That is the first mention of all of the texts that they have been back together again, that it says that they actually apologized to him. So watch this. Three things, and I'm going to get out of you here because I know we running over a little bit. So watch this. Number one, your private pain was used as a public blessing. In order to be blessed by betrayal, you got to understand that your private pain will be used as a public blessing. The brothers never saw the repercussions of what they did to their brother, of what they did to Joseph. They never saw the things that he had to go through because they made a bad decision, because they were jealous about his coat, and they were jealous that their father loved him more than he loved them. So they never saw the repercussions. So your private pain will be used as a public blessing, because guess what? Everybody can see that Joseph had it going on. Number two, God used Joseph's gift, and his gift made room for him. So going back to the point about providence being with you when you're in the pit, when he was in Egypt, when he was in Potiphar's house, come on, he'd been betrayed twice, Willie, come on. He was in Potiphar's house, and because he would not lie with her, She must have been fine because he ran up out of there quick. But because he would not compromise himself, and because he would not do this thing against God, he was betrayed. But because he still chose to operate in his gift, he could have ignored what the dreams were. He could have ignored what he heard. He could have slid to the background and decided to not be a part of what was happening in the prison. But because he decided to allow God to use him, because he decided to exercise his gift made room for him. Now, the third thing is God sticks with you. Now, watch this. There's a phenomenon that I think is really interesting. Reg, when we were kids, come on, man. I know you know about this, and I got to get you in like every sermon. Watch this. So when we were kids, we were in fourth grade. Boys and girls used to wear spandex biker shorts. I had a pair, blue and black, worn in gym class every day. I don't think I ever washed them. I know that's bad. But I see the same thing now. Every time I go to Walmart, every time I go to Target, every time I'm in the store, Kroger's, come on somebody, Myers, the mall, every time I'm out somewhere, the gas station, the library, come on somebody, every time I'm walking around my neighborhood, every time I'm in the car, every time I'm out on the bike, everywhere I go, I see ladies with these spandex stretch pants on. Every time I'm in the UDF, every time I'm, come on somebody, every time I'm anywhere out now, it's like, that's the thing. Man, even when I go to work, it's some ladies at work that dress them things up. They put them on and put some boots on and a shirt and call it casual Monday. Stretch pant Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I know a few people that got four or five different colors. It's their work uniform. They rock them things like they dress pants. So I had to think about it for a second. I said, why is it that I see so many ladies wearing this stretch pants? Why is it that I see so many folk with these stretch pants on? Is it because they're comfortable? Yes. Is it because they're easy? Yes. Is it because they're low maintenance? Yes. But I figured out the reason why ladies like to wear the stretch pants. Reg, you know what? You want to know why they wear the stretch pants? Reg, come on, somebody. They wear the stretch pants because the stretch pants keep everything together. Come on, somebody. So when you're down in your pit, when you're dealing with betrayal, when you're dealing with folks stabbing you in the back, when you are dealing with individuals who, yeah, that was pretty good. When y'all dealing with somebody who has betrayed you, when you're dealing with somebody who has turned their back on you, when you're dealing with somebody who has left you out for dead, come on, somebody, when you are dealing with folk who want to put out the light that God has put in you, when you are dealing with individuals who are jealous of your anointing, jealous of your ability, jealous of your blueprint, jealous of the God that loves you, jealous of the God that has forgiven you, jealous of the Jesus that saved you, when they are jealous of you, it is God that sticks with you. And not only is it God that sticks with you, but the Bible says that he holds all things together by the word of his power. So watch this. God is the one that is sticking with you in the pit. So I came by to tell somebody today that not only does God bless you in your private pain, not only does God allow your gift to make room for you, and not only does God stick with you when you're in the pit, but God can do a good thing out of a bad place. Come on, somebody. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God can do a good thing out of a bad place. Y'all better talk to me. God can do a good thing out of a bad place. I'm gonna say it till I feel it, right? God can do a good thing out of a bad place. I don't know about you, but I know if I look back over my life and I think things over, I understand that God has done some good things for me out of some bad places. So I can give God glory because I understand that God is with me in the pit, that God is with me when I'm in trouble. God is with me when I've been betrayed. God is with me when I'm in a tight situation. God is with me when I need help. God is with me when I feel like I'm by myself, because God sticks to you. And so watch this, because God can do a good thing out of a bad place. I can give him glory, and I can declare that I'm blessed by betrayal. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.